Hey, if you're new and we didn't get a chance to meet, my name's Doug. I'm one of the pastors here. So glad all y'all are here this morning. We're going to just kind of jump right in. And if this is one of your first times with us, just a quick explanation. We've been walking for our sermons. We've been walking through section by section through the book of Luke. And we're doing this. One of the reasons we're doing this is that we want to be shaped by the story of following Jesus. And the Gospel of Luke gives such a great picture of what that looks like. And so that's what we're doing. And every time we start a new chapter, because we've been at this kind of off and on for over 2 years. So every time we start a new chapter, it's like a momentous occasion. And today, let's hear it for chapter 15 of Luke. Okay, you're a little excited. I'm super excited because this is like the chapter I've been looking forward to so much this entire time. In fact, once we're through this chapter in the next month or so, like if I were to have an accident and die, it's totally fine to just be done with Luke and go to a different series. All right? So my wife and my mom did not think that was funny today. She still didn't think that was funny. Thank you for the rest of you laughing. I do appreciate that. But what I want to do starting out here, I'm just going to start out, we're going to talk about, before we get to the text, we're going to talk about sheep. Sheep are not the brightest animals on the food chain. Case in point, check out this video. There's no audio, but check out this interesting video that shows you a little bit about sheep. We'll watch it twice, so don't worry, you won't miss it. It's short, but that looks like it hurts, doesn't it? There he goes. Yay. Everybody cheer. And oh, there we go again. Right? Does anybody go, this is my life, right? It's all this struggle, all this work. We're getting this poor little guy out of there. Everybody rejoices. And then I would just have to watch that part one more time. I'm so sorry. I had such great music playing behind it before. There he goes. Yeah, anybody, is that familiar to anybody? Like, yeah, okay, this is not just me, right? Sheep are clumsy, they're vulnerable, they're not exactly the heroes of the animal world, and yet, all through Scripture, one of the most common picture of God's people, and one of the best pictures of what it means to follow Jesus is that we are sheep, right? We are sheep. And I know that in our culture, being called a sheep now today is an insult. I mean, I've heard lots of people say with disdain, I'm not a sheep, I think for myself. Like, being a sheep, I guess it means that we're weak, we're spineless, we're gullible, we'll just go along with whatever. And yet, here's the problem, if you're a follower of Jesus, being a sheep, according to pictures in Scripture, being a sheep is one of the best things that you can be, because we don't just belong to any shepherd, we belong to the good shepherd. In fact, in John 10, Jesus himself says in verse 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I mean, that's the promise from our good shepherd to us. So if we want to hear God's voice, if we want to know what it means to follow Jesus, we actually might need some humility to embrace this idea of being a sheep. And that's not bad news. It's actually good news, which brings us to Luke 15, where Jesus is going to tell through this whole chapter, there's three lost and found parables. There's this one we're going to look at this week is the lost sheep, and then the lost coin, and then the lost sons, because both of them were lost, if you know that part. And these three parables, they build on each other. But the first one this week sets the stage, so I'm going to read it all the way through, and then we'll go back through and unpack it and comments on it. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, so these are the religious elite, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And so then, in response, Jesus told them this parable. Suppose, he says, one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Time out. Remember the word repent from a couple weeks ago. Just means to turn around and go the right direction. So that's repenting. One sinner who repents, changes direction, brings joy in heaven, more joy over that than, we'll go back to the verse, than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Because ostensibly they're going in the right direction. So God rejoices. The good news here in this parable is that God rejoices and God seeks you out because you uniquely matter to him. Listen, you are not valuable to God because of what you can do. You're not valuable because you're super talented or successful or gifted. You are valuable because you are you. You are God's child. You are irreplaceable. And so here where Jesus tells this story about a shepherd and 100 sheep and one wanders away, it's helping us to see that the shepherd loved that one that wandered so much that he left the 99 to go find it. And why is Jesus pointing this out? He's telling us that the one mattered. The one mattered to God. I mean, let me give you a couple ideas different. So I've got this little kind of stretchy bracelet thingy thing. And if I had 100 of these and I lost one, I wouldn't care all that much because I still have 99 more. But you are not a bracelet. You are not replaceable. Another way to think of this, between Heidi and I, we have 4 adult children, Noah, Danielle, Andy, and Ryan. And if we lost one of them, I wouldn't say like, oh no, Danielle is lost, but hey, we got 3 more, so who really cares? That'd be unthinkable, right? Because every single one of our kids is uniquely valuable to us. Each one is irreplaceable, and that is how God feels about you. You are his child. You are uniquely created. You are treasured, and because you are treasured, when you wander, when you get lost, not if, when, God doesn't just sit back and wait for you to kind of mosey on and find your way home. No, he comes looking. He comes looking for you. And so here's this parable that Jesus tells about the lost sheep, and it's pretty simple, right? You can break it down and say, hey, a sheep is lost. The shepherd searches. The sheep is found. A party is thrown. End of story. But to do that, we would miss how profound this imagery is of the shepherd. See, all through the Old Testament, so before Jesus came, all through the Old Testament as well, God identified with being a shepherd. Just a few places I'll touch on. Many of us are familiar with maybe Psalm 23, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," would be, I think, the King James Version that some of us memorize it in. "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need," Psalm 23. We're looking to God as our shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40 says, "He," God, "will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them close to his heart." It's a tender picture of God as our shepherd. Ezekiel 34, actually, the whole chapter is really kind of crazy because it's talking at first about all these people that are supposed to be shepherds to the people, but all these shepherds are not good shepherds, and God is calling them out, and he says, "My sheep wandered, and no one searched and looked for them, so I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." See, it's not new that God started pursuing lost people and lost sheep in the New Testament. God has always been about pursuing what belongs to him. And right here, Jesus is saying, "I am that shepherd and you are that sheep." See, the religious elite who Jesus is telling the story in front of, the Pharisees, they taught, well, hey, listen, sinners, no, if you're lost, you got to clean up your act first. You got to seek God out. You got to conform to the rules. And then maybe, just maybe, you might be welcomed back in. But right here, and several other places as well, but right here, Jesus very specifically flips that whole thinking upside down, showing us God is the one who pursues. God pursues us, and we are the ones who surrender. God is the one who pursues. We are the ones who surrender, which I think is really good news. Really good news, because let's be honest, left to ourselves, sheep wander. We wander. We drift, we get distracted, we chase after things that can't satisfy, and sometimes we outright rebel. Now I said a little bit ago that being a sheep is good, but I also want to just point out the obvious, because we've already seen some evidence. Like sheep are kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, they're not bright animals. In fact, if you think about other animals that are intelligent, animals that are intelligent eventually get their own show. So dolphins had Flipper. Anybody remember Flipper? Yeah, okay. Dogs have Lassie and Air Bud and about 100 TikTok accounts. Horses had who? Mr. Ed, there we go. Did I hear another one too? Mr. Ed. Okay, I thought there was one I was missing, but I mean, even pigs, right, had Babe and Charlotte's Web. Cats, I mean, the whole internet is basically one giant cat video, which is gross. But sheep, though, I mean, like, there's not really anything there. Sheep, no Netflix series, no Disney blockbuster. Oh, there's Lamb Chop. Okay. You were talking to Michelle. All right, yeah. I guess if you have toddlers at home, you know, anybody have toddlers that watch Shaun the Sheep? Anybody? Yeah, grandkids? Heidi raised her hand first service, but she's leaving me, hanging me out to dry second service. Okay. But you just don't, you know, other than Lamb Chop, you don't hear about sheep making it big. They're just interesting animals. John Ortberg points out that sheep are also not only not that smart, they are creatures of habit. Left to themselves, they will graze the same patch of grass until it's down to dirt and nothing can be grown again if you leave them to their own devices. They will walk on a path over and over until it becomes a rut that the rest of the pathway around it is made dangerous by. They will also, we'll call it, pollute their own pasture until it is completely unsafe, which kind of sounds familiar, like humans do, but I digress. With sheep, if one goes over a cliff, the whole flock could follow. I mean, you would think, one goes over the cliff, you would think one, just at least one sheep at some point would notice, would stop and think, huh, weird, like Sally went over the edge and never came back. Maybe I'll pause and reflect before I impulsively, you know, plunge ahead. But that never happens, you know. Sheep just think, well, all right, I guess I'll give it a try. It doesn't sound like a bad idea to me. Thank you for the groan and thank you for the laugh. But sheep are goofy, right? It's easy to laugh at sheep. But here's the deal. It's kind of a mirror for us, isn't it? Because on our own, we are not as brilliant or independent as we think. We get stuck in ruts. We follow habits that can destroy us, and we desperately need a shepherd because we wander. We wander. Whether it's us or whether it's sheep, that wandering happens in all kinds of ways. Sometimes it's like, I guess it's rebellion with a sheep. Most of the time, I think it's probably more distraction, like just, you know, even, oh, that smells good, and just chasing after what smells good in the moment. So it's distraction. And sometimes it's just ignorance. We wander because we're just drifting, and we wandered without maybe even realizing it. And when we wander, here's some good news. It's not that God just shrugs his shoulders and goes, oh, well, I got 99 more right over there. No. The good shepherd notices. The shepherd cares. And the shepherd pursues, which is exactly what Jesus himself said he came to do in Luke 19. He said, the Son of Man, which is a phrase that he used to describe himself sometimes, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. See, the really beautiful news here is that when we wander, when you and I wander, the shepherd doesn't punish us and then distance himself from us. No, he seeks, he pursues. He actually wants to move closer. He goes out searching and he won't stop until he finds us. But I want to be really clear. Just because the shepherd pursues us That doesn't mean wandering has no impact. When sheep wander, they often get stuck in ditches, tangled in thorns, chased by predators. There are consequences to wandering, and it's the same for us as well. When we wander from God, we're gonna end up feeling the fallout. We'll experience oftentimes consequences at some point. But I wanna be really clear, those consequences, these are not, they're not God punishing us. And I know sometimes people get real confused about this. They think, oh, this painful thing I'm walking through, it must be God punishing me. But I just got to tell you, like, nowhere in the New Testament is the word punish ever used to describe how God relates to his children. Now, God loves us, and so he does discipline us. And there's a huge difference. We have to know the difference between punishment and discipline. And this will help with some of our parenting and grandparenting, by the way, okay? Difference between punishment and discipline. Punishment is about making you pay. Discipline is about helping you learn. Big difference, big heart difference right there. Punishment's about making you pay. Discipline is about helping you learn. Punishment says, you failed, and now you're going to get what's coming. You're going to get what you deserve. It's punishment. Discipline, different heart, says, oh, I love you too much to let you keep walking toward destruction. Let me guide you back to life. That's what discipline is. And so when we experience pain, sometimes the pain we experience when we're off track, it's not punishment from God. Sometimes it's just the natural consequences of living in a broken world and making destructive choices. And when hard things happen, when we hit bottom, that's not God inflicting punishment on you. That's the reality of the cause effect in a world that's fractured by sin and operating in direct opposition to the ways of Jesus in the kingdom of God. It's gonna hurt. But it's not punishment. I mean, think about sheep. Again, back to the sheep thing here. Sometimes they wander into ditches, they eat themselves sick, or they follow each other right off of a cliff. And when that happens, it wasn't because the shepherd pushed them out there. That's just what happens when sheep go their own way. They get to choose. That's the direction they go. It's not the shepherd's fault. That's their choice. Reminded me this week of a young woman that Heidi and I mentored, and I kind of see her as a combination of lost sheep and also kind of lost son, lost daughter in the metaphor or the parable. Because some of her choices were defiance, rebellious. She told lie after lie, got herself tangled up in a huge mess, and then she kind of blocked everybody out who maybe could have helped her if she would have let them. And eventually in her wandering, she became pregnant by an abusive man. And people had interesting reactions to that. But I want to just say that was not God's ultimate plan for her life. That was not God's will for her life. And someone made this suggestion to us, but that's not God punishing her. This was the natural consequence of making destructive choices, even though we knew it was shaped by a painful background and unresolved wounds. It's just what happens. And even in thinking of her and preparing this story and praying for her this week, it's not too late for her. But I also know that as long as she keeps wandering, choosing to wander far from the shepherd, she will keep experiencing the pain of being lost. And yet, there is always hope because the shepherd is still pursuing her. Now bring this back to you and to me. I want you to hear me when it comes to pain and loss and things when we wander. When you experience the fallout of wandering, don't accuse God of punishing you. Don't accuse God of punishing you. You might be punishing yourself. You may have opened a door for the enemy to harass you. The enemy is the accuser of brothers and sisters, of us. God's not the accuser. That's the enemy's job. Don't put that on God. You might be experiencing the natural consequences of life in a broken world, the fallout of wandering. But know this, God's heart toward you is not punishment, it's pursuit, it's restoration. And his heart is filled with joy when you come home. And I want to clear up something real quick before we jump into the next part of this coming home. It's kind of related to this punishment thing. There's this story I've heard a few times now, but it's a preacher story, and it really kind of bugs me. So since I get to preach up here, I'm going to vent my thought on it. Okay, the story that gets told is, okay, a sheep goes wandering off, and finally it keeps doing it again and again, and so the shepherd breaks its leg and then carries it around until it heals, and then supposedly the sheep learns to stay close forever. Okay, sounds dramatic, right? And in certain church contexts, I guess it must preach well, but here's the problem with that picture. It's not true. I mean, there's no evidence of that in scripture, but there's no evidence of that in ancient shepherding practices either. In fact, it would be foolish. Like a shepherd's entire livelihood depended on the health of the flock. And so breaking a sheep's leg would make it more vulnerable, not safer. Honestly, like if you were a shepherd and you were trying to make a living, breaking the leg of one of your sheep, it's kind of like today, like slashing the tires on your own car. Like, you know, it's not just cruel, it's dumb. And what really drives me crazy about that illustration, and I know some of you have heard it, and some of you are like, that is a weird illustration. I'm glad you didn't hear it before. What really bothers me about that kind of picture is it completely distorts the heart of God. It makes God look like this abusive parent who's going to go out there and wound his kids and teach them a lesson. And I know that because I've heard people hear that story and comment and say something like, yeah, that is God. Like, oh, he broke my leg, right? He's going to hurt me if that's what it takes just to keep me in line. So praise the Lord, let's go. So I just want to say, friends, this is not the shepherd that Jesus describes anywhere in the New Testament. I mean, in fact, if a shepherd went around breaking sheep's legs, that word would get out and the sheep would start saying, this shepherd is bad news. So, yeah, that didn't get as much, yeah. All right, I'll stop with the dad jokes. But you get the point, right? Okay, now let's look back at verse 5. When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, right? So the shepherd doesn't break the sheep. He carries it, doesn't punish the sheep. He restores it. A much better picture of what it's like to watch the shepherd in action instead of this break on the sheep's leg thing. A guy named Philip Keller, who was a shepherd, he gives a great picture. And shepherds call this thing a cast sheep, a cast sheep. It's when a sheep gets rolled up on its back and it can't get up again. So there it is, right? It kicks and struggles, but only makes things worse. And before long, it's flat on its back, feet waving in the air like a toddler throwing a tantrum at Target. Again, we'll just watch a quick, here's what it looks like video here. Yeah, so Keller writes, it's impossible for this sheep to regain its feet. As it lies there struggling, gases build up, especially in the legs, and if the weather is hot and sunny, a cast sheep can die in a few hours. That's quick. See, a cast sheep cannot fix itself. It can't roll over. It can't get unstuck. It can't save its own life. It must have a shepherd come and do what this guy did on that little video behind me there. Lift it up, hold it and steady it, so let it get ready, set it on its feet before letting it go again. And so without the shepherd, it's done for. See, that's what the real danger is in wandering. It's not a shepherd breaking a sheep's leg. It's a sheep that literally cannot stand on its own. And what would a good shepherd do in a scene like that? He wouldn't come up to the sheep and be like, well, there you go, serves you right. No, he comes, lifts it up, steadies it again. Which brings me back to a picture from Psalm 23, read part of it earlier. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. See, that's the true picture of God. God doesn't break us to bring us home. He restores us. He refreshes us. He lifts us up when we can't get back up ourselves. I mean, listen, you've been around long enough, you know that this world, our world, is already full of cliffs and predators and ditches and parasites. Life gives us plenty of ways for us to experience pain when we wander off. God doesn't need to add his cruelty on top of it to teach us a lesson. That is not his heart. So let's put that myth to rest. The shepherd in Jesus' story doesn't wound the sheep to keep it close. He bears the sheep's brokenness on his own shoulders to bring it home. And that is God's heart for you and for me as well. That is his heart. Now back to the text. Verse 5, what does the shepherd do when he finds the sheep? It says, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. He goes home. Then he calls. Did you see that? He joyfully. I would be grudgingly ticked at that sheep, like, right? Ooh, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together. And he says, rejoice, right? It's about joy. There's joy. I found my lost sheep. I mean, it's like a chain reaction of joy. First, it's the shepherd. He rejoices. He's filled with joy. Then his joy spills over to his friends and neighbors. And then Jesus, in this next verse, says that joy keeps on going, reverberating into heaven itself. Jesus says, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. Now again, Jesus is telling this story in front of a group of people, these religious elite Pharisees. They're standing on the sidelines. They're anything but joyful. They are muttering, but in heaven, God is throwing a party. I mean, there's the contrast right there. Grumbling on earth by the supposed religious people and rejoicing in heaven. And Jesus makes it crystal clear which side he falls on there. See, here's this beautiful truth. Somebody comes home, God's heart erupts in joy, and then he invites us into it. We're not just spectators. We get to participate in the joy. I mean, just think about that. Every time someone comes home to God, heaven throws a party, and we are invited to join the party and rejoice, See, like I said earlier, you are uniquely special and you matter to God. And the gospel is about you and Jesus. There is a part that is deeply personal. He does go after the one. He goes after you. And it's never just me and Jesus. It is also being brought back into the family of God because we are better together. And that's worth celebrating too. It's both. You don't have to pick one or the other. It is both personal and communal. And there is joy that comes with it. There is joy when people come home, when you and I come home. I mean, nothing else on the planet actually can bring more joy than trusting and seeing that the gospel is true. In trusting and seeing that when you were lost, God sought you out. When you wandered, Jesus found you. When you were broken, he lifted you on his shoulders and carried you home. When we were dead in sin, God's Spirit made us alive in Christ. And that is worth celebrating. That is worth a party. And that is worth letting our hearts echo the joy in heaven that happens anytime someone comes home to the Father. So I have two questions. We wrap up. Question number one, if heaven throws a party over one lost sheep being found, here's the question, who is your one? Who's your one? You know, who's your one? Who's your neighbor? Who's your one neighbor, your one coworker, your one classmate, your one family member? And you might look around and go, hey, there's a bunch of Christians. This is great. It's already good. It's already wonderful. We're just fine. But the shepherd didn't say, well, I still got these 99. His eyes were on the one who had wandered, because the one matters. And that's still how God works. And you know, sometimes we would love to see a bunch of people come to Jesus all at once, but more often than not, God's rescue starts with just the one. And it's one because the one matters. So who is your one? Who's your one in your cul-de-sac? Who's the one down the street? Who's the one in your classroom? Who's the one in your workplace? Who's the one in your circle of friends? Who is the one that God has placed on your heart to pray for, to care for, to love in his name? Not because, you know, you should or you're being pressured. No, no, no. Because you go, oh, I want to share in the joy of heaven when that one that I know that I care about, that one comes home. Just like the shepherd rejoiced when the sheep was found and heaven rejoiced when the sinner came home. Imagine, picture that person's face in your mind, the one. Picture their face in your mind and imagine the joy that you will have when you see that one carried home on the shoulders of the good shepherd. Does that bring you joy? Does that make your heart beat a little faster with hope in Jesus? See, it's a celebration that we're invited into. So who is your one? Who is your one? Second question. I want to ask, and where do you find yourself in this story today? Where do you find yourself? Maybe you're the one going, yeah, I know what it feels like to wander. Maybe even right now you're chasing after something that looks really good in the moment, but you know it's going to leave you empty. Maybe you can even kind of relate to that cast sheep, the upside down, and you feel stuck, you feel unable to get up on your own. Hey, listen, the good news is that the shepherd is already looking for you. He's closer than you think, and he is ready to lift you up and carry you home. Maybe you find yourself as the wanderer in the story. Or maybe God is putting someone on your heart, and so the one you're identifying with in the story is the person that you know that you love, somebody who's wandered, and you know they need to be brought back. And you want to help in that process and love them in that process, not out of obligation or should, but because you know there's no greater joy than joining the shepherd in his pursuit of the one. And so wherever you are in this story, the invitation is the same for each of us, for us to come home to the shepherd who treasures you, pursues you, who carries you, who rejoices over you. The worship team comes. I want you to look at this image on the screen. I had a little smaller print made in my office, and my friend Jason was using my office for just prep before preaching, and this really grabbed him, and we just started talking about it. I mean, both of us, the first time we saw this image, this picture, we were really moved. This lost little lamb in the wilderness. In the background is Jesus running through the mud to rescue. And for some of us today, you might see this picture and say, oh yeah, that's my story. You know what it's like to feel, maybe even right now, lost in the shadows, stuck in the wilderness, unable to find your way back. And again, the good news is Jesus is already coming after you. And others of you, maybe when you see this picture, you don't just see yourself as this lamb that Jesus is coming after. You maybe see that the one in your life. It hit me in first service. A family member. And I need it. I need to be reminded. This person I love in our family. And maybe for you it's a child, a spouse, a friend, but I think of the one in my story and the one that I'm thinking of, they're wandering. Maybe for you, somebody in your life is rebelling, running. But here's something for you and for me to hang on to. because it can get real scary when they wander like that. Listen, Jesus is not done with them. Jesus is not done with them. He is chasing after them in love, fighting through every obstacle, determined to carry them home. God is at work. And so today, in a moment, we're going to sing, but I wanted to give you something tangible to take home. But I just want to hand it out. What I want is for you to kind of pray with your feet or make a move, make a motion. And so we have the small printouts of this with the parable of the lost sheep on the back. And you can come. Up the aisle to there is a table with a stack, and over here as well, there's a stack. And, you know, for some of us, I think it's just a reminder. Maybe you look at that and go, okay, this is a reminder that Jesus is pursuing me. And for others of us, like me, sometimes it's both, but this is going to serve as a reminder for me to keep praying, keep trusting, and keep pursuing. Jesus is pursuing that one that we love who is wandering. Again, Jesus says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one, does he not leave the 99 to go after the one until he finds it? And thank God that is his heart, that is his promise, and that is our hope. Prayer team, will you come on up here to the front? And if any of you want prayer as we sing in a moment and as people come forward to take a picture, if you want prayer, just come and they would love to pray for you. And I'm going to pray and then I'll invite you to stand and sing. But Jesus, I do thank you that you are the good shepherd. Thank you that when we wander, you don't punish us. You don't abandon us. You come after us. Jesus, thank you that when we were lost, you sought us out. When we were broken, you carried us. And when we were dead, you made us alive. And so, Jesus, I pray right now for every heart in this room, for the one who feels lost. Remind them that you're already running toward them. For the one carrying the ache of a loved one who's wandering, give them hope that you are not done. You are still pursuing, and you will not stop until you find them and bring them back home. God, now as we sing about your love, I pray that we would be encouraged and reminded of your deep, deep love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.